Now we will continue with the next shloka.
Vasudeva sutam devam
kamsa chanura mardanam kamsa chanura mardanam
devaki paramanandam
krishnam vande jagat gurum.
Before we proceed, I will make one clarification from the last lecture. Actually, we are thankful to Ramesh for recording the lecture so I could hear that and also could make amends. When our friend, I didn't get your name.
Suhas.
Suhas pointed out about the first shloka in Isavasyam. Isavasyam started with Isavasyam. But the Dhyana shloka or the Shanti Pata for all the Upanishads is Purnamada Purnamidam Purnad Purnamadachyate. That comes in Brihadaranyaka. It is not in Isavasyam. But we start the Upanishadic learning first by starting with that shloka. So even with the very first Upanishad Isavasyam, even if you want to do Abhyasa, first you read that shloka and then continue. So that is what I should have clarified you at that time. But when I was listening to the tape, I didn't clarify that, so I thought I will clarify that to you. It is not in Isavasyam, it is in Brihadaranyaka. So after worshipping Mother Gita and Vedavyasa, the author Madhusudana Saraswati, he worships Lord Krishna, the teacher of Bhagavad Gita. So in the last two shlokas, Krishna was worshipped as the milkman who milked the milk of Gita from the cow of Upanishads. So you understand that allegory there. Jagadgurum Krishnam Aham Vande. That's what he says in this shloka. Jagadgurum Krishnam Aham Vande. I prostrate that Krishna who is the Jagadguru, the teacher of the whole world. Then we can understand Jagadguru in two senses. As the teacher of Veda, starting from Narayanam Padmabhum, the entire thing, as the teacher of Veda, which is considered to be Ishwara Vachana. Vedas are supposed to be not written by any human being. They are supposed to be apaurusheyaha, not written by a human being. They were all given as the words of the Lord Himself. Yasya Nishvasitam Vedaha, supposed to be the very breath of the Creator. That is how the Vedas are. So as a Jagadguru, the person whom really you brought out the Vedas to humankind, or if you want to take him, Krishna, as an avatara Krishna, then who has given out Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the essential teaching of the Upanishads only, the Vedas only. So he is universal teacher, either as a teacher of Veda or teacher of Bhagavad Gita also. And what type of Krishna he is? Vasudeva Sutam. Vasudeva Sutam, he is the son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva, and who is Devaha? Devaha means the greatest Lord. And this is based on Krishna avatar. Even though Madhusudana Saraswati is now, he is now worshipping Krishna. So he is talking about Krishna avatara when he calls Krishna as the son of Vasudeva. Kamsa Chanura Mardanam, who is the destroyer of Kamsa and Chanura. And this padam indicates he is the Dharma Samstapakam Krishna. He is not just any Krishna. He is Dharma Samstapakam Krishna. So Kamsa and Chanura, they represent what? They represent, they are the embodiment of Adharma. They are embodiment of Adharma. Whether they actually existed or not, that is not our question. But they are embodiments of Adharma. And the Lord destroys Adharma and establishes Dharma. That is what the Lord does. So Lord is the protector of the Jnana Kanda, which gives actually the Jnana Marga, the Vedanta, and the Dharma Shastra. So when he is destroying Adharma, he is establishing Dharma. So Dharma Shastra, he is the author of that. And when he is trying to be the teacher of the Jnana Kanda, he is teaching Moksha Shastra. So Dharma Shastra and Moksha Shastra are both given out by the Lord. That is what is indicated by that. So Moksha Shastra is protected by teaching of Vedanta. And Dharma Shastra is protected by destroying Adharma. So we are going to learn more of that later. So paritranaya sadhuna vinachaya dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So those shlokas we will be seeing later. So dharma samsthapakam Krishna is being indicated in this shloka. Devaki parama anandam, one who is the highest, the ananda to Devaki, the mother. I prostrate such a Krishna. So that's a simple shloka. Bhishma Drona Tata Jagadrata Jala.
Bhishma Drona Tata Jagadrata Jala. Bhishma Drona Tata Jagadrata Jala.
Gandhara Nilotpala.
Gandhara Nilotpala. Gandhara Nilotpala.
Shalyagrahavati Kripena Vahani.
Shalyagrahavati Kripena Vahani. Shalyagrahavati Kripena Vahani.
Karnena Vela Kula.
Karnena Vela Kula. Karnena Vela Kula.
Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara.
Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara. Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara.
Duryodhanavartini.
Duryodhanavartini. Duryodhanavartini.
Sotirna Kalu Pandavairananadi.
Sotirna Kalu Pandavairananadi. Sotirna Kalu Pandavairananadi.
Kaivartaka Keshavaha.
Kaivartaka Keshavaha. Kaivartaka Keshavaha.
This is a very beautiful shloka. Here Krishna is prostrated as a guide or as a help for all samsaris, people who are all afflicted with the sorrow of samsara. He is the one who is guiding them, who is helping them. In this case particularly, the Pandava family. The Pandava family, they were all in all kinds of situations. The troubles they have undergone, all the problems they had, it is unimaginable problems they had. They were in all kinds of situations, even though they were all born as royal children. They were all born to a king. In spite of it, they had to go through all this. Even in the war also, Mahabharata war, they were not in an advantageous position at all. The Kaurava army was too big. It was much bigger than their army. And also had two powerful warriors like Dronacharya, Bhishma, Karna. All these people are all great, great warriors. And one Dronacharya alone is enough. Because Dronacharya was the teacher of all these Pandavas. When he is a teacher really knows much more than the students. That is one thing. Number two, teacher also knows the weaknesses of the students. And when you are fighting that teacher, it is going to be really a very, very tough war. And that is what he is going through. Even numerically also, they were very, very strong. And in addition to strength, the Duryodhanas, Kauravas were also good in what? In cheating. They can adopt all kinds of warfare methods. They were all illegal. They were all adharmic warfare. They can resort to all of them, whereas the Pandavas are always wanting to pursue dharmic yuddha. So that is another problem they have. So in spite of all these problems, so if you really look at the war, nobody would believe Pandavas would ever win the war. But ultimately the result was Pandavas won the war, and this entire victory was due to only one factor, because Krishna was there in their sight. That was the only factor that was responsible for that. So the cause is only one factor, namely Kaivartakaha Keshavaha. So the boatman. So here the Mahabharata war is compared to a Rana Nadi, a war of a big river of war, Rana Nadi. And if these Pandavas have to cross that Rana Nadi, they need to have a very efficient boatman, and that boatman is Krishna. That is what is told here. So killing of each giant, whether it is Dronacharya, Bhishmacharya, Karna, anybody in the war, all assisted by Krishna as a hidden hand in some form or the other. That is why these people could win this war. So if you want to deal with such a war, the Mahabharata Yuddham, then Kaivartaka should be Keshava. That is how he is being worshipped here. So here he is worshipped as a Bhakta Jana Uddharakaha. Krishna is now worshipped here as a Bhakta Jana Uddharakaha, who uplifts the Bhaktas from their problems. So it's a beautiful poetical sloka here. The Mahabharata war is compared to a huge river, Rana Nadi, And Ranam means the war itself here, itself the war compared to a river. And the Pandavas have to cross such a river and reach the other shore of victory. And they could have crossed this because the terrible river was filled with so many crocodiles, whirlpools, rocks, all those things are all there. They could never have crossed it because Krishna was the boatman. He could maneuver the boat and take them across the river. So he says, Bhishma Drona Tata. Bhishma Drona Tata. For the river, for this war river, the banks of the river are Bhishma and Drona. They are the banks of the river. And why should you compare Bhishma and Drona to be the banks of the river? And what the bank of a river does? The banks of the river only determine the direction of flow of water. So if the war has to flow in a particular direction, controlled by whom? Bhishma and Drona. They determine the direction of war. So the direction was determined by them. So Bhishma Drona eva tatau yasyaha sa Bhishma Drona tata. And what is the water? If this is these are the banks, the water is what? Jayatrata Jala. Jayatrata is a very, very powerful warrior. Jayatrata, responsible for killing Abhimanyu. And what are the powerful rocks? Gandhara Neela Utpala. Neela means black or dark. Sometimes it is also in Sanskrit, you call it blue also. But here it is black or dark. So Krishna is called Neela Megha Shyama. So the one who is dark like a cloud, so that is that kind of Krishna. And Utpalam, there are two readings for this term Utpalam, either Upalam or Utpalam, in stone here. So Neela Upalam means it's a dark rock. Dark rock means it's a powerful, as powerful like a dark rock. And the kind of Gandhara kingdom, the king of Gandhara is like a strong rock. Or Neela Utpalam, one can also translate as to blue lily, blue lotus kind of lily flower. So if the Gandhara kingdom, the king is described as a beautiful, a handsome warrior. One can think of it that way also. Then Salya Grahavati, Gandhara kingdom is ruled by the king, and who is given that kind of adjectives there? Salya Grahavati, Graham means a shark or a crocodile in the river. So for the war river, the shark is the king Salya. Salya is another powerful king. And what is the current of the river? Kripena Vahani. Kripena, Kripa, Kripacharya. He is the high current. Kripacharya is the brother of Kripi, who is the wife of Dronacharya. So Kripi is the wife, Kripacharya is her brother. And he is a very, very powerful warrior too. And also a great Acharya. And the powerful waves are Karnena Velakula. Karna was like a powerful wave who will appear from nowhere. That is power of Karna. He can just wade through any kind of opposition, just go through, and he is a powerful wave. And he can, where he appears, how he disappears, nobody will know. And the crocodiles, they are another type of terrible fish, or those kinds of the objects in the river. Ashwatthama and Vikarna, they are considered to be Gora Makara. And what is the whirlpool in the river? Duryodhana is Avartani. Avartani is the whirlpool. So with all these things, with these whirlpools, with these rocks, with all these terrible fish and crocodiles and such a great banks, if these people have to cross the river, then there is only one means of crossing that river, because they have to have a very powerful boatman, and that boatman happens to be Kaivartakaha, his boatman Keshavaha. Krishna was that boatman, and therefore sa rananadi uttirna. They could cross such a powerful river, uttirna. They could cross that. These are called in Sanskrit rupaka alankara. Rupaka alankara, these are all metaphors. So this uttir, they crossed such a river because Krishna was the Kaivartakaha, he was the boatman. Actually, one story of Jayadratha alone is adequate for the entire thing. He killed Abhimanyu by cheating. In the war, Jayadratha killed Abhimanyu by cheating. And Arjuna, he got furious with that and he made a vow. He said, I will kill Jayadratha today. He should have stopped with that. Sometimes in the over enthusiasm, or maybe his agony was so high, or he thought he is a great warrior, he also said, I will kill Jayadratha by today. If not, I will commit suicide. That he would not have told that. He told that. Now all the Kauravas were very, very happy, because they were thinking their task is only to protect now Jayadratha. So by that they can accomplish two things. They have protected a great warrior Jayadratha. In the process, without any effort, Arjuna will be killed. He is gone because he is the strong opponent for them. So by protecting Jayadratha, they can accomplish two things. One is to protect a great warrior, and another two, he'll get Arjuna removed from the battlefield. So this was a big thing. And what happened? The sun set. Arjuna could not do anything. He already prepared the fire and all that thing so that he would jump. He is doing pradakshina and all that thing. All the Kauravas were all rejoicing. They all came out, including Jayadratha. Everybody came out and rejoicing. They are watching the fun of Arjuna jumping into the fire. And suddenly the sun came up. Krishna said, "There is Jayadratha, shoot him." And in one arrow, he was shot. And later they found Krishna was hiding the sun through his chakram, through his discus he was hiding for that moment, so that it appeared as if sun was set. Really, sun was never set. So Krishna's hidden hand was there everywhere to make sure that the Pandavas could cross this river. So Kaivartakaham Keshavaha. So because of that, they could cross this river. Saranavim Uttirna. So that means what? Krishna was behind everything to establish dharma in that war. So Kaivartakaha Keshavaha. Parasharya vachas saroja mamalam.
Parasharya vachas saroja mamalam. Parasharya vachas saroja mamalam.
Gitartha gandhokkatam.
Gitartha gandhokkatam. Gitartha gandhokkatam.
Nanakyanaka kesaram harikata.
Nanakyanaka kesaram harikata. Nanakyanaka kesaram harikata.
Sambodhana bodhitam. Sajjana shat padai raha raha ha.
Loke sajjana shat padai raha raha. Loke sajjana shat padai raha raha.
Pepiya manam muda.
Pepiya manam muda. Pepiya manam muda.
Bhuyat bharata pangajam kalimalam.
Bhuyat bharata pangajam kalimalam. Bhuyat bharata pangajam kalimalam.
Radvam sinashreyase.
Radvam sinashreyase. Radvam sinashreyase.
So here again the worship of Mahabharatam is continued here. Previously Mother Gita was worshipped. Another beautiful metaphor, Rupa Kalankaram again here. Mahabharata is compared here to a beautiful lotus flower. Wonderful lotus. Bharata Pangajam. Mahabharata Pangajam. Pangajam means lotus. So Bharata Pangajam. Naha Shreyase Bhuyat. Let that Mahabharata lotus, let it bless us for our well-being. That is the prayer here. This is a very, very main, this is the main prayer of this shloka. All other lines are supposed to be description of the Mahabharata lotus itself. So Mahabharata, let Mahabharata bless us. Because lotus flower has got many virtues, and so does Mahabharata also. That is how the comparison goes. Lotus is generally born in a saras. Saras means a lake or a pond, wherever there is a water. This thing is there. Lotus is born there. So it is called Sarojam. Sarahajam. So the one that is born in a saras is Sarojam. Sarashi Jatam. Sarashi Jatam is Sarojam. Born on lake or ponds, any of those. And Mahabharata lotus is born out of what waters then? We have to compare. Parasarya Vachaha Eva Saraha. Parasariya Vachaha. Parasariya means Vyasaha. Vyasaha, Vyasacharya is supposed to be the son of Parasara. So Parasarasya Apadyam is Parasarasya Apadyam Puman Parasariya Vedavyasaha. He is supposed to be the son of Parasaracharya. And Vachaha, Vachaha, his words. So the words of Vyasacharya is supposed to be the saras, the pond, from which this lotus has born. Jam means Jata, born. Born out of the lake of Parasarya's word, Veda Vyasa's words. And the lotus is Amalam. The lotus is Amalam means it is Shuddha, it is pure. It is very, very pure. Same way, Mahabharata also is Amalam. It is free from all impurities. Now, what are the impurities of for any literature? Because Mahabharata is a literature. So, what would be the impurity in a literature? For a lotus flower, you can say impurity, for that was there, this was there. For a literature, what is the impurity? There can be two impurities. One is called Shabda Dosha, the other one is called Artha Dosha. These are the two types of impurities any literature can have. When the meaning is not proper through the literature, or is not in accordance with what? With Dharma Shastra. When they write, all these things should be in accordance with Dharma Shastra. So when the meaning is not in accordance with Dharma Shastra, is not in proper, it is called Artha Dosha. Artha Dosha is one of them. Or there could be another dosha. With this Shabda Dosha, the language grammar may not be proper. So both of these doshas could be there. So Mahabharata is free from both types of doshas. So it is called Amalam. Like the lotus flower. So Amalam here means dosha rahitam, without any doshas. And also the lotus has a beautiful fragrance. And what is the fragrance in Mahabharata? Gitartha Gandha Utkatam. That is what the sloka says. Gita Artha Gandha Utkatam. Gita Artha, the Bhagavad Gita and its Tatparika. Whatever the concept the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, the Vedantic teaching of Bhagavad Gita, that is the Gandha, the fragrance of Bhagavad Gita. Utkatam, excessive fragrance, beautiful, very nice fragrance. That is very, which is very rich with the fragrance of the Gita teaching, Vedantic teaching. So in the Mahabharata, the fragrance part of it is what? Gita. Mahabharata is a very, very big literature with about 100,000 slokas. And in that, Gita is only about 700 slokas. So this is like a concentrated essence. The fragrance is so much beautiful. Such a essence is Gita. Then Nana Kyanaka Kesara. It has got the Kesara. Kesara means the small fiber-like strands in the lotus flower. In the lotus flower, you know, you could see the small fiber-like strands there, those filaments of the lotus. So for Mahabharata, the filaments, Nana Akhyanakam. Akhyanakam means stories. There are so many different types of stories that are strewn over all over Mahabharata. So they are like those beautiful strands of the lotus flower. Nana Akhyanakam, Kesaram. So each story is like a filament, adding beauty to the Mahabharata flower. And it is blooming with what? Harikara Sambodhana Abodhitam. Sambodhana Abodhitam. Abodhitam means is expanded, bloomed into a very wonderful flower through the stories of Lord Krishna, Harikata, Hari Lord Krishna, Harikata, stories of Lord Krishna. Each episode in Mahabharata is like the vibhuti, the glory of the Lord. So Vyasacharya is not interested in writing the story of either Pandava story or Kaurava stories or Draupadi stories. He is writing the story of Hari. So his Harikata it is. So wherever Dharma is there the Lord is there to protect Dharma. That is what he wants to write about. Not all other things are all incidents and characters. Wherever Dharma is there, Lord is there. That's what he wanted to say. So it is not the Pandava Katha or Kaurava Katha. It is the Katha of Hari. It is Harikata. So Harikata, Hari is the hero of the entire epic. And through the stories of Harim, the Mahabharata has been very well expanded. That's what he says. Sambodhana. Sambodhana means teaching. Through the teachings of Harikatha, the Mahabharata has been expanded, expounded. Then Loke Sajjana Shatpadaihi Aharaha Pepiyamanam Muda. It's a wonderful lotus flower. It must be always be sought by the bees. Because it's a beautiful lotus, honey will be there. So the bees will be always seeking that. Similarly, the Mahabharata lotus flower also should be sought after by some people. Who are those people? Sajjana Shatpadaihi. The Sajjana Shatpadaihi, all those noble people, they are all Dharmikaha. Only such people will see such Mahabharata stories. Compared to here, Shatpadaihi. Shatpadaihi means the six-legged insects. Here it's a bee. So bees and all have supposed to have six legs. The fly, they are all supposed to have six legs. Shatpadaihi means six-legged ones. So this is a bees. Shatpadani yasya shatpadam. So whatever has 6 feet, the bees, insects and all. And if you look at the beautiful thing is what? If you look at the lotus from a distance, then the lotus is very pleasing to the eyes. Very beautiful. So at a distance it is very, very attract the eyes. Then if you go a little near, what happens? You will smell the beautiful fragrance of the lotus. So when you go nearer, you not only see the beauty, you also see the fragrance of the flower. And if you still go closer, you can touch the flower. Then you can feel the beautiful touch of the flower. It is so smooth, so nice. So you can enjoy the touch. So from a distance to the eyes, go near to the smell and to the touch. As you go closer, you can enjoy it even more and more. So you can get varieties of types of ananda depending on how you look at it. If you want to look at the lotus from a distance, you get some kind of joy. Closer, some more joy. Still closer, some more joy. Same way is Mahabharata. If you want to look at it from a distance also, you get something. So this is how you go into that. But what happens? Even though you can touch, the honey is what you want to enjoy. The bee can do that because the bee has got a special equipment to get the honey from the lotus flower. We don't have it, called the probos or whatever they call it. So through that it can suck the honey from the flower, but we don't have it. Who has? Jnaninaha. The jnanis, they have that particular equipment, so they can enjoy that honey also from the Mahabharata flower. So if you look at the Mahabharata, superficially it can cater to even children also. The story is nice, everybody is, you know, enjoying it very well. There are so many stories here, even children can. So even for very gross minded people whose minds are not subtle, they don't have any finer things at all, they don't know, understandings are very poor. From a distance, it is beautiful just as a story, like a Ramayana Katha, Mahabharata Katha, it's good as. But the same epic, if it is approached a little bit closely with the sense of dharma and adharma, if I look at it, then if you analyze it, then the story is full of not only superficial things, but what is really taught is dharma, adharma is what is taught. That is what you will enjoy when you go there. The values of life, relationship between people, how to live in a society, all those things it teaches. But when the person is even more mature, then if he is, for example, the term I used in the last class, sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha adhikari. If such a person is an adhikari, he is like a real bee who has got that special equipment to enjoy the honey. He can enjoy the honey, the Vedantic wisdom from Mahabharata. He can enjoy the Vedantic wisdom. The Moksha Shastram is also given there through the Bhagavad Gita teaching, through the Moksha Dharma, everything is taught there. So story part, Dharma part, and Moksha Shastra part, all three are taught in this entire book. So by the Sajjana Shatpadehi, by the Sajjana, by the good people, the noble people, the Jnanis, by those bees, it is Aharaha Pepiyamanam. It is drunk again and again and again. You can drink any number of times, you will never get drunk. And that is the beauty of this entire kavya. So muda means happily, happily pepiyamanam. Again, again, it is drunk very, very happily. By whom? Sajjana Shatpadehim, by these noble people. It has been taken. So the Shatpadehim is the insects. The bee is now compared to these noble people. And finally, Kalimala Pradvamsi. The impurities of Kali Yuga. Kalimalam refers to the impurities of Kalimala. This Kalimala. Actually, as the Yuga goes, the people also become worse. See, there is, we mentioned about deterioration, Yuga Dharma it is. So they also deteriorate, they become worse and worse. By the time Kali Yuga comes, the people are supposed to be the worst. We are at the beginning of Kali Yuga now, we are in the first quarter. Pratame, so we have when we do Sankalpa, Kali Yuga, Pratame Pade. So we are 432,000 years, this is only 5,000 years has crossed now. So still a lot more to go. So the Kali itself literally means quarrel. Kali, Sanskrit means quarrel, another meanings. So this is a yuga full of quarrels only. We don't have to have any other proof. We know everywhere. It's only quarrels, nothing else. So a yuga, when people are always quarreling, fighting, always unrest. So if this polluted mind is to be purified in Kali Yuga, then Bharata Pankajam, the Mahabharata lotus, Mahabharata flower, is the Pradvamsi. Pradvamsi, na? Pradvamsi, Kalimala, Pradvamsi. Pradvamsi means the destroyer of Kalimala. It is the destroyer of Kalimalam. The impurities of Kali, Pradvamsi, will be destroyed by this Bhagavad Gita Mahabharata. So let that Mahabharata be Naha Shreyase, for our Shreyas, for our well-being. That is the prayer. Mukam karoti vachalam,
mukam karoti vachalam, mukam karoti vachalam,
pangum langayate girim,
pangum langayate girim, pangum langayate girim,
yatkrupatamaham vande,
yatkrupatamaham vande, yatkrupatamaham vande,
paramananda madhavam,
paramananda madhavam.
So this shloka also prostrates to Lord Krishna. Madhavam aham vande. Aham vande, I prostrate to Madhava. Ma means Mahalakshmi. Ma means Mahalakshmi. And Davaha means husband. So the husband of Mahalakshmi is Madhava. Whose nature is what? Paramanandaha. The embodiment of the highest ananda is that Lord. And the other two lines, they talk about the glory of that Krishna, who is Madhava, who is Mukam Karoti Vachalam. who makes even a mukaha, a dumb person. Mukaha means a dumb person, an eloquent speaker, vachalam. He makes him an eloquent speaker. Actually, vachalam also means who is a talkative person, but here we take him as an eloquent person, a great speaker. Pangum langayate girim, who will make even a lame person, a person who is lame, pangum, girim langayate, cross even a mountain. So this can make even a lame person to cross a mountain. It can make even a dumb person to be the eloquent speaker. Yat kripa, by his blessing, by his grace, by the Lord's grace, even these things can happen. So that Krishna, that Paramananda Madhava, I prostrate to. That is what prayer is. And the idea is what? Previously, Krishna was worshipped as Moksha Pradata, the one who gives moksha. That's what he was worshipped earlier, one who gives moksha. Here, he is worshipped as the one who fulfills even worldly desires. Not only moksha, even in this Janma, if you want a lot of worldly desires, whatever things you want to accomplish, even that can be fulfilled here. So, Bhukti Mukti Pradata Cha Tasmai Krishnaya Maha. So, to that Krishna, who can give me Bhukti and Mukti, whatever enjoyments in the world, and also Mukti, who can also give me moksha, to that Krishna, my namaskarams, Paramananda Madhavam, Aham Vande, I prostrate to that Paramananda Madhavam. Then the last Dhyana Shloka, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta.
Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta.
Sunvanti Divyaistavaihi.
Sunvanti Divyaistavaihi.
Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadaihi.
Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadaihi. Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadaihi.
Gayanti Yam Samagaha.
Gayanti Yam Samagaha. Gayanti Yam Samagaha.
Dhyanavastita Tadgatena Manasa.
Dhyanavastita Tadgatena Manasa. Dhyana vastita dhagratena manasa.
Pashyanti yam yoginaha.
Pashyanti yam yoginaha. Pashyanti yam yoginaha.
Yasyantam navidusura suragana.
Yasyantam navidusura suragana. Yasyantam navidusura suragana.
Devaya tasmai namaha.
Devaya tasmai namaha. Devaya tasmai namaha.
So this shloka also is prostration to Lord Krishna. Tasmai Devaya Namaha. My namaskarams to that Deva, Sri Krishna. Tasmai Devaya Namaha. And the other lines are just glories of Lord Krishna. And what type of Krishna he is? Yam Brahma Varuna Indra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti. Yam Brahma Varuna Indra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti, who is praised, Stunvanti, praised by even Lord Brahma, Varuna, Rudra, the Maruts, all these Devatas, they praise that Lord. That means he is the God of all gods. He is Mahadevaha, the highest ultimate God. And Brahma and Indra, again a little bit of Vedanta here, Brahma and Indra, they represent the presiding deities of a particular power only. Actually, in Tattvabodha, that we didn't go through that thing that day earlier. For every person, for me, I have my eyes and I have the power of sight. So I am supposed to be the presiding person for the power of sight. It's me, I. And for everybody together, everybody has a power of sight. So for the samashti, for the individual, it is called vyashti, and for all together, it is called the samashti. So for there must be a power of sight for all total together. And there must be a presiding deity for that. And that presiding deity is supposed to be Surya. So Surya Devata is supposed to be the presiding deity for that function, faculty. Like that for the samashti hearing, for the samashti smell, for the samashti touch, for everything total, there are supposed to be presiding devata. They are called Adhishtana Devatas. And for everything, there is an Adhishtana Devata. And now, these are all individual faculties, individual, like each department. And now you have got a person who is controlling all departments together, and that is this Lord Krishna. So we have got Adhishtana Devatas for each individual, faculty. And now you have got the total Devata, and that is that Krishna. So for example, if you take Brahma, Brahma is the presiding deity for what? The creative power. So Brahma is the presiding deity for the creative power. So they are all but still partial powers, Adhishtana Devatas, but the total power is the Lord. The Lord only controls everything. He has delegated them. The manager has delegated some powers to some people in the department. So like that, this Lord has given delegation to these people to do those functions. But they are not the real controller of those functions. The Lord only is, he can override anyone. He is that Lord. So all gods, because of that, they praise him. Stunvanti. So because of that, they are all only individual. With what? How do they do stotram of him? Divyaihi stavaihi. Through divine hymns. Divyaihi stavaihi means divine hymns. Suktas. The glorification of the Lord. Veda mantras. All those things they do praise of him. Stunvanti. They praise. They glorify. Not only that, not only they glorify, Vedaihi Sangha Padakramopanishadaihi Gayanti. In the Vedas also, Vedaihi, Lord's glory alone is talked about. Veda is not talking about any other glory. Only Lord's glory alone it is talking about. Not only Veda, even the Angas of the Vedas. We will go through a few details of all this. There are Veda Angas. The Veda mantras are supposed to be so complex. It's not very easy to understand them. So if really somebody wants to learn Veda, the Vedic literature, not Sanskrit literature, the Vedic literature, then people have to go through a series of study of various things. And there are so many Shastras which are giving various studies. For example, the Veda Angas are supposed to be the six organs of Vedas are there. Siksha Shastra, that talks about the pronunciation, the origin of words, letters, all those things are given. The Varnas, that is given in the Shiksha Shastram, that is supposed to be the nose of the Veda Purusha. So Veda Purusha's nose is supposed, the Anga means organ. So the Veda Purusha's nose is supposed to be Shiksha Shastra. Then Vyakarana is the grammar, supposed to be the mouth of the Veda Purusha. And the Chandas, supposed to be the meter of the Veda Mantras, is the feet of the Veda Purusha. And Nirukta, supposed to be the etymology, the Vedic dictionary, the ears of the Veda Purusha. And Jyotisha is supposed to be the eyes of the Veda Purusha, astrology, astronomy. And Kalpa, relates to the Vedic action. That is supposed to be the arm of the Veda Purusha. So these are all supposed to be the various organs of the Veda Purusha. So if you want to approach Veda Purusha, you should know all these things also. So somebody really has to know what is really contained in the Vedas, how to understand them, interpret them properly. They should be also familiar with all these Veda Angas. And like the Veda Angas, there are Upangas also, subsidiary organs of the Vedas. Mimamsa, inquiry. Because it's all logical. There is no arbitration here. In our Vedanta, there is nothing like a chance. All these chance, probability are all in mathematics. In all these scientists, in our literature, we have nothing like a chance. Everything, they have got a reason for everything. So Mimamsa, inquiry, Nyaya, logic, everything is logically approached. Then Puranas, Puranas serve as the magnifying glass of the Vedas. Whatever is the Dharma taught in Vedas, they are magnified and given to us through Puranic stories. First day I told Harishchandra's story, Satyamvada. So like that for everything there is story. And Dharma Shastra, that teach about the codes of conduct. All given in Vedas, strewn all over, but all these sciences, they teach them so that by understanding them properly, we can understand Veda Mantras properly. So, Vedaihi Sangha, Sa Anga, all the Angas of Vedas, they also talk about the same thing. And Pada Krama Upanishadaihi, the Veda Mantras, this is, I will spend a few more minutes on this topic because it is better to, when we say Veda is great, we have to understand why it is great. The Veda Mantras, they are supposed to be teaching us the Dharma. That is, that we have understood already. And the Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda portion we already said. And because they are teaching us Dharma, our Rishis, they try to keep, because those days there is nothing else like a written text. There are no tape recorder, none of those things existed. So it has to be only propagated through a oral tradition. That is teacher to student, student to another student. Like entire Guru Parampara came because they all had to protect these Vedas. Because they are supposed to be Apaurusheyaha. The Rishis by their mystic powers got them. So they had to propagate them. So they were going through a oral tradition. But in oral tradition, normally I used to tell this thing to people. You know, a few people talk to each other. So somebody, you know, the guy, the son-in-law, he got sick. So he vomited. So when he vomited, the people who were observing, they said, oh, this guy, he vomited. Oh, I don't know, the vomit has something like black in that thing. So he took some food, maybe some palak or something, he vomited black. And the people who called somebody else and told, oh, Sanila came for Deepavali, and now he vomited black. And somebody, he told this another person, and he said, he vomited black like a crow. So here, how black it was, crow. And it finally goes to the nth person. The nth person says, oh, the son-in-law vomited crow. That is how communication goes. Now, when teacher to student to tourist, if this is to go for endless parampara, you know how these mantras can be mutilated? Very easily it could be mutilated. Normally, when they try to find the age of a language, they try to find the age of the language, they take some words. And these words go through modifications over a certain period of time. So they have some kind of a metric by which over so many hundred years or so many, whatever number of years, this word can go through so many modifications. So if it has gone through so many modifications from some literature to what it is today, then they will say, okay, you extrapolate it and then say this may be the age of that language. For Vedic language, you cannot give such age because this is such a closely guarded language. Because for other things, there are, you got the colloquial way of expression. You say the same thing in different ways. You go to Madras, the same Tamil is spoken different ways, right from Madras to Kanyakumari. Whereas in Vedic language, Kashmir to Kanyakumari, the mantras are same, no change. Because it is such highly closely guarded. Because in a oral tradition, they have to maintain the purity of the word. They have to maintain the intonation of the letters. Because the intonation changes the meaning. If the words by itself, they change the meaning, the intonation changes the meaning, and the sound of the letters, the pronunciation, how it is pronounced, the accent, the swara, the sound combinations, when two letters, two sounds combine, what will be the resulting sound? And the correct tally of words, you say the particular mantra, there are X number of words. So if you want to say it in a particular format, if the tally is not maintained, it is like checksum in all these algorithms. If it is not there, you cannot complete the chanting. So they made all these checks and balances in the way the mantras are chanted, and they devised new methods of chanting. So you got the basic mantras. So the basic mantra, you take Rudra mantra, it's a basic mantra. And the basic mantra itself is chanted in different ways. So one way is called the Prakriti, another way is called the Vikriti. Prakriti is the way where the original order of words are all maintained as in the original mantra. So whatever is the order of words, word 1, word 2, word 3, it is maintained the same way. But in Vikriti, these words, order itself is changed back and forth, so that unless a person is very, very thorough in the basic mantra, this person cannot recite these patams at all. So as the complexity increases, then his scholarship also in the original mantra, that's supposed to be much more perfect. So they kept it such closely guarded, so they made all these various padas. And in the natural order of chanting, they've got the Mula Mantra, then they've got what is known as Padapada. Padapada means you separate each word in the sentence separately and recite it. And then there is Kramapada. Kramapada, what they do is they combine word 1 and word 2, word 2 and word 3. It goes in that manner. And they also devised artificial ways of chanting. Jata, Mala, Shika, Reka, Dvajo, Dando, Rato, Ganaha. So they have got 8 different ways of chanting the same mantra in so many ways. For example, if I give you some example, you will understand. If you take a simple mantra, Oshadaya Samvadante Some Ena Saharajna. This is one Mula Mantra, some basic mantra in Vedanta. And this is called Samhita. And it has got so many letters, so many words. Now in the Pada, you separate each word separately and then recite them. Oshadayaha sam vadante some ena saha rajna. So all these words are separated. They have acquired now new swaras. There are rules for them, how to get new swaras for them, how to separate, because normally when we recite mantras, because we don't know how to separate them, we recite with lot of mistakes. That is why all these padamandals have to be read. Otherwise, you don't know how to combine them with Veda mantras. When people recite, sometimes you have to close your ears because they don't know how to combine. They just make all these mistakes. And this is padapada. Then in krama, you take letter A, word B, AB, then BC, then CD, like that. So, Oshadaya sam, samvadante,
padante some ena some ena saha saha rajnya rajnye tirajnya. The same six words, whatever words were there originally, you take this long to recite in the krama format. But if you really see Oshadaya Sambadante, Oshadaya word 1, sum 2, 3, that order was not changed in these formats. So this is called Prakriti Padam, the natural order of recitation. They were all memorizing this. It's not just read as read. And then in the artificial order, they have got Jata. Jata is the first artificial order, where it is like, Jata means the hair, the ladies braid their hair. So you take one leg, take another leg, take this leg. So it is going like this. So you will take first word, second word, second word, third word, again, first word, second word. So it will be going like that. So Oshadaya sam Oshadaya, Oshadaya sam, sam vadante, vadante, sam vadante, vadante, so me ena, vadante, vadante, so me ena, saha, so me ena, saha. Saha rajnya rajnya saha saha rajnya rajnye tirajnya. So the same whatever sentence we read, it takes this long to recite it in Jata Padam. So here, unless the person has got a great handle on all the words thoroughly, they cannot. A person who can recite in Jata Padam is called Jata Vallabha. The one who recites in Krama Padam is called Kramavithu. And they have got like that so many Vikritis, as I read just eight different types of Vikritis. And the Ganapadam, the people whom we call Ganapadis, they have gone this rigor so much rigorously, each word is repeated 13 times. So if you take a simple word like this, sentence like this, if I read it in Ganapadam, Oshadaya sam Oshadaya, Oshadaya sam vadante, vadante, sam Oshadaya, Oshadaya sam vadante, Samvadante vadante sam vadante so me ena vadante sam vadante so me ena vadante so me ena vadante so me ena saha saha so me ena vadante so me ena saha saha so me ena saha rajnya rajnya saha so me ena saha rajnya rajnya saha rajnya rajnye tirajnya. Each word is repeated 13 times. And this Ganapati, if you really take Yajurveda, for example, these are some small numbers, it's good to understand. Originally, we had four Vedas. Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda. So that is what Veda Vyasa, classified them. And he gave each one Veda to one Rishi. So Paila, he gave to Rigveda, Then to Vaishampayana he gave Yajurveda, then to Jaimini he gave Samaveda, and Atharveda he gave to Sumantu. That's what he said, he did. And now if you take those, that means Veda Vyasa, how much he should have known. Now he separated and gave only one section to each. Now this being now propagated. Now if you take only Yajurveda also has got two sections, one is Krishna Yajurveda, another is Shukla Yajurveda. So if you take only Krishna Yajurveda, only one Veda, let us take. There is one portion called the Taittiriya Samhita, that is one portion in Krishna Yajurveda. It is supposed to have 2000 Panchashat. Panchashat means 50 Padas. Panchashat means 50 Padas. So it is supposed to be. And several Panchashats together will make one Anuvaka. And several Anuvakas make one Prashna. And several Prashnas make one Kanda. And several Kandas make this Krishna Yajurveda. It is supposed to have seven Kandas. And all together you are supposed to have 1,09,000 and odd mantras and padas, words you are supposed to have. Now you think of all these padas, 1,00,000 and odd, a Ganapati recites by heart 13 times each pada, that means he has to maintain 13,00,000 of all these padas by heart, and the swaras for each letter, the sandhi rule for combinations, the entire thing, Varna, Swaraha, Matra, Balam, Sama, Santanaha. You have to maintain all of them. Varna means the pronunciation of the letter, the actual letter. Swara is the intonation. Intonation, if you change it, meaning changes. Matra, the actual time duration for taking the utterance of each vowel. Hraswa, Griva, all those things. One matra, two matra, three matras. Matra. Balam, the force of articulation. How you articulate that? Sama and Santana. Sama is the actual, the uniformity of this thing, and Santana, continuity. It should not look like separate compartments. It should be a continuous and flow should be there.
and they have to maintain this for all these padas, for all those each letter in this thing. It takes years and years of practice, and they can now come and recite it without any book, without any tape recorder, none of those assistants. They can, if you bring a Ganapati for a Ganaparayana, we can just start and recite Ganaparayana without this thing at all for hours together. So that requires that much of practice and education to study these Vedas. So this Ganapati, we have got all respect for all other professions. A guy who is a doctor, the moment he comes, you want to take his briefcase and walk him to the car and then open the door, put him there. All that we do. Lawyers, the moment you make the phone call, immediately he looks at the clock. That's it. Every minute is counted. $400, $1,000 per hour. Any professionals, whatever, all other professions have gained so much of respect in society except this. Because people do not understand what they have to go through to reach that position. And more than that, it is the only thing that talks about apurushaya vishayaha, namely moksha, dharma, adharma, punya papa is talked only by them. All other things don't talk about punya papa. They all talk about their profession, make a bag, that's it. Here it is not that. So it talks about punya papa, it talks about dharma, adharma, it is talking about moksha sadhana. So this is this, because there is no tangible there, we don't have that much of reverence to that. For all other things, you have a tangible benefit. Here there is punyam papam, you cannot see, right? Punya papam is for the guy after death. Who is going to worry about it? We do not realize. We have to watch the mirror and see how I am today. What brought me to where we are today. So for that, we have to believe in our shastras. Our shastra talks about, you know, punarjanma and all that thing. So if you believe in all these things, then we will have the reverence for these people. I just thought I will take a few more minutes to explain that, because these Veda mantras are supposed to be so difficult to practice and also to, you know, put this in use. So this is, so Vedaihi sa anga sang, with all the Vedangas, pada, krama, etc. Various types of chanting. So all those things, they not only pada krama and also the Upanishads also, Vedaihi sanga pada krama upanishadaihi. Upanishads also, they also talk about only one thing, Gayanti. They talk, sing about the glory of that Lord alone. That Lord alone, they talk about the glory. And also Yam Samagaha, even the Samavedis. Actually, Samaveda mantras are all supposed to be the musical component. They are supposed to be very difficult to recite. Because in all other things, you have got only three types of swaras, whereas we have got all the seven swaras there. So Samagana is supposed to be very, very difficult. So even the Samavedians, when they recite Samaganam, they also talk about the glory of that Lord alone. So Yam Samagaha, Dhyanavastita Tadgatena Manasam, Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha. And that all Lord alone, Yoginaha. Yoginaha means Jnaninaha, the evolved persons, the realized ones. They see that Lord, they Pashyanti, they see that Lord alone as their own what? Their own inner self. The jnanis see that Lord as their inner self. That's what here says. We are going to see that in much more detail later. Dhyana avastita, remaining in dhyana, sitting in dhyanam, they realize that Lord as nothing but their own inner self. So dhyana avastitaha, in dhyana, through shravanam, through mananam, through nididhyasana. These are all Vedantic terms. Shravanam means whatever you hear. Aham brahmasmi, you hear. Shravanam. Manana means you are trying to understand that concept without any doubts by going through discussions, by analyzing yourself, by doing it so many ways. So you got that thing. And Nididhyasanam is to try to live that 24 hours a day. That is the only dhyanam I have. That is the Vedantic meditation. When you go to all these meditation classes, you pay money and somebody tell you close your eyes and think of focus, all that they say. But the thing is, that meditation is not this meditation. This is Vedantic meditation. 24 hours a day, I have to be thinking, Aham Purnaha Asmi, Aham Triptaha Asmi. I am satiated. I have nothing to ask for. I don't lack anything in life. 24 hours a day should be there. Aham Purnaha. There is nothing lacking in me. That thought should be there. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. That thought should be there. I should never think I am a limited individual. I should never think I am in a frame of 5 feet, 6, 7 inches. I should never think I am 150 pounds. All those thoughts should go. They are all relating to anatma. We have to have only atma jnana. Atma chintana alone should be there. And that is nididhyasana. To practice that way. Why we have to practice that way? Only when you practice that way, that becomes mechanical to you. Only when that becomes mechanical to you, you will learn to be thinking. It becomes it's a habit. To think that is a habit. So that is how normally people you might have seen, you know, when they yawn, they will say Krishna. When they sit down, if they are not able to get up, they again call Rama. All should become like that, 24 hours a day. Only the Ishwara Nama should be there in the tongue. The thinking should be only about the Ishwara. Then only it will become a practice. It is not an ordinary thing. Normally people say, oh, if you think of Narayana when you die, I'll become no problem at all, I'll go to moksha. Normally people say, right? They always have all these, you know, various stories. So you think of Narayana when you die, no problem. So I can be whatever I want. At the time of death, what all I should do? Think of Narayana, he will take me. All the, you know, Vishnu's people will come and take me in Pushpaka. At the time of death, your free will doesn't work at all. Everything is in reversal action. Whatever you take, you get throughout. At that time, you have no free will, doesn't work. If you want to think of Narayana, free will is not working. You have got, maybe people have pain, this, that and all. And even if he thinks of Narayana, he is thinking of the Narayana to whom he gave $100 loan. So this guy did not return. He was my friend, I gave him $100. So he is thinking of the Kadangara Narayana. So mind thinks only in that way, it doesn't think of the Lord. If it has to think of the Lord, it has to be a practice from any, whatever time you can think of, it should start right there. 24 hours only that dhyana. So dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. Remaining in dhyana through shravana mananam and nididhyasanam, through jnana yoga, having absorbed their minds into themselves. These are the jnanis, they discover the Lord. They discover the Lord, not something outside. They discover the Lord as their own antaratma, antaryami. That's what they think. So yam yoginaha pashyanti, they see that Lord, they feel that Lord. Yasya antam na vidu sura suraganaha devaya tasmai namaha. Yasya antam sura suraganaha na viduhu. Antam means here limit, not the end. Whose limits are not known, even to whom? Devas and asuras. Even devas and asuras do not know the limits of that Lord, that infinite Lord. Actually, there used to be normally a story where there was this big yaksha was there, and both Brahma and Vishnu wanted to find out the head and foot. So Brahma said, I will go up and look at the head, and Vishnu said, I will go down and look at the foot. They could never reach either the head or foot. And of course, Brahma is supposed to have told a lie that, you know, he made some contract with the tharambu that was falling from the head of this whatever being it is, and then said, okay, it comes from the head, so I have seen the head. So because he told a lie, there is no temple for Brahma. These are our stories. But they could not reach the top or bottom, whose limits cannot be seen by anybody, even devas and asuras, because devas or asuras are all people. They are not still evolved jnanis. If they are evolved jnanis, then no problem. They could see it as antaryami. But for all others, who is going to look for it all other places, they can never see either the beginning or end. So, yasya antam na viduho sura suraganaham devayam tasmai namaham. To that deva, to that Krishna Lord, Krishna, to that Paramatma, my namaskarams, who is all pervading, to that Lord I prostrate, devaya tasmai namaha. With this, all the dhyana shlokas, 9 shlokas dhyana shlokas are over. Now we can get into the text.